This morning, I was assigned the subject of the matter of training, and I would like to set this in the context of a sub-study called The Man God Uses. So if you'd like to jot that down, I would like to discuss that with you briefly this morning. When you consider the man God uses, you have to consider the man God uses to do what? You know, if you want cookies baked for the rally, you figure out the one God uses for that will be the gals that can bake cookies. If you want to figure out somebody else to do something else, why that's... But here we're talking about, I believe, uses to fulfill the vision that God has put in our hearts. So that will be the thrust of this morning. What are the basic essentials to fulfilling this vision of multiplying disciples? And it's more than just that the man must understand what the vision is. Because we have had tens of thousands of people at our conferences over the past 20 years. And very few of them are being used to fulfill the vision of reaching a world for Christ through the multiplication of laborers and disciples. Very few of them. Many people understand this vision, but it takes far more than that. A person must be addicted to this thing. So the first thing I've jotted down here is the man must be addicted to this vision. 1 Corinthians 16:15. The house of Stephanas. They have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Now, in Colossians 1:28-29, Paul says, Jesus Christ, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And you've heard that verse explained, and so have I. The secret to warning every man, namely the evangelization of every man, is to teach those that are one to Christ. Warning every man and teaching every man. So to accomplish the first, we must do a good job with the second, namely teaching them. So that they in turn can go become warners of others. And when they are one to Christ, they are built up in the faith, and then they in turn become warners of others. Warning every man and teaching every man. And the tremendous power and thrust of that verse, verse 29, often kind of gets carried away in the wake, and we don't really see what God is trying to say in that verse. But look at that verse. Warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working that worketh in me mightily. Mightily, striving. I think it's the Phillips translation says, that is what I am working at all the time, with all the strength that God gives me. Paul was addicted to this thing. He was working at it all the time, with all the strength that God gave him. That one thing he was working at all the time, with all the strength that God gave him. Warning every man and teaching every man. His whole life revolved around that idea. He was addicted to this. He didn't become sidetracked. He didn't dabble in this or that. This is what he prayed about, thought about, worked at, talked about. The winning of the lost, and then the building up of those people who had become believers. Paul was addicted to the vision of multiplying disciples. And I'll tell you when you will know when you have it. I'll tell you when you can know whether or not you're an addict. You can tell you're an addict when you can look into the face of one person and see the whole world. When you can look into the face of one man or one gal and see the whole world, then you've got it. Until that time, you are not addicted. Now, the second thing that is necessary for the accomplishing of this vision that God has given us is to have a heart for people. A real heart for people. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is writing to these people, and he's sort of explaining to them what he had done and how he'd gone about it. And he makes this comment, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. A guy named Waldron Scott met with me for 2 years when I was a college student up at Minneapolis. I went to Northwestern up there. And when I left him, I transferred to the University of Washington. I was on a little train going out, and I opened a letter I got from Scotty. About all it contained was that verse. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have impart unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. Dear unto us. You see, if a person is addicted to the vision, but he really does not have a real heart for people, it'll be mechanical. Just mechanical. He'll go through the motions, but it'll just be mechanical. Now, the third thing that is essential in fulfilling the vision that God has given us is know-how. Know-how. In the matter of the winning of the lost and the training of believers in their service and walk for Jesus Christ, it is important that a man know what he is doing. Because when we follow up young Christians, we are working with the raw material of which heaven is made. Heaven is comprised of people. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul makes quite a point of this. He talks to them about doing this follow-up work, not the quantity of what they're doing, but the quality of the thing. He says, every follow-up man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And fire shall try every follow-up man's work of what sort it is. What sort it is. Not just kind, but sort. And if you have to start reading back here in verse 5 to get the entire thrust of this. At first he talks about himself as one who plants and waters, and they are God's husbandry, and they plant the seed, and then they water them and nourish them along with little plants. And then he talks over here, he changes the simile, and talks about himself being as a wise master builder, having laid a foundation, and another man is coming and building on that foundation. Now he says, I started you outright. The foundation was right. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which was Jesus Christ. This was a solid foundation. Now another man is coming along and building on that foundation, but he says, watch what sort of building you do. And then he gives the reason in verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. And the word that he uses there is the word naos, the very inner holy of holies. These people are considered the very temple, the inner holy, holy of God. The Spirit of God dwells in them. And you do not defile the temple of God. Therefore, in following up new believers, we must know what we are doing. This is not something to be undertaken haphazardly or casually, but with prayer and thought. And as you notice in verse 10, Paul called himself a wise master builder. A wise master builder. Now in 1 Chronicles 12:33, I mentioned this verse last night. Of Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, expert in war. Notice that. Expert in war. Expert in battle. A skilled, wise master builder. And how do you get that way? There is only one way that I know of, and that is through training. Not some haphazard, hit or miss, trial and error thing, just going out and blundering around, hoping for the best, but spending enough time and enough of your life and paying enough of a price to get the kind of training a man needs to do this thing and to do it right. We need to be trained. And that is why this summer, all across America, hundreds of young men and women will be involved in various training programs, investing from 5 weeks to 3 months to lay the foundations that will last them the rest of their lives. I've had guys tell me, Lee, I am crippled. I am crippled spiritually. I am now 30 in my 30s or 40s, and boy, I just have not, I don't know what to do, and I don't know how to go about it, and it's too late for me now. And I'm crippled, and I'll be crippled the rest of my life. Because I did not take the time in my late teens and early 20s to get the kind of training that would last me and set me for the rest of my life. And now it's too late. Now let me tell you why training is so important. You see, unless a person is addicted to this vision, it won't last long. He'll attend a few conferences, he'll memorize a few hundred verses, he'll then go get married, settle down, and become just one more couple. And when he dies, it will be as though he had never lived. However, if a person does not have a heart for men, even if a person is trained, he'll be cold and mechanical and just go through the motions. But without training, you can be addicted to this vision and want to do it. And you can have such a heart for people that your heart just goes out. But you will be the most frustrated individual for the rest of your life. Because you've got this heart for people, you're addicted to this thing, but you won't know what to do. You won't know how to go about it. You will be ineffective, and you'll know it. You'll be frustrated, and this will kill you. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, he talks about those who are able to teach others also. Able. The Phillips translation has that reliable. Reliable men. New English Bible says competent men. Now, if we do this thing, if we really do this thing, if we really find ourselves addicted to this idea, if we find ourselves with a growing heart for men, growing heart, and if we really pay the price to get the training we need, what can we expect? What can we expect will happen? Well, I am convinced, and I say this before God, I am convinced in my own heart that God will take these hundreds of young men and women that are today involved in this thing all over the world, these young disciples in Singapore, in Brazil, in Copenhagen, in London, in Mexico, in Tokyo, in Manila, and all across America, young men and women, and will use them to change the course of history. I believe that. Because right now, today, there are young men by the hundreds and thousands involved all over the world, giving all they have, giving all that they are. Young men and women who are eager. And here is the exciting thing. God Himself is eager to let you in on that. God is just waiting to involve you in that. And to me, that is so exciting. Good grief. I get goosebumps when I think of that. That God will take the likes of us and use us to change the course of history. And it will be done. fact that God is ready to take you on this grand idea, you know, and make you a vital part in Christ's army, and use you to make the kind of impact on this world that you cannot believe, that you probably don't believe, but He believes it, and He is ready for you. Well, again, you see, the eyes of God run to and fro. And He's asked the same question that He's asked, you know, 8 centuries ago. Or 8 centuries before Christ, I should say. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And my prayer has been at this conference that God would use this conference. I have prayed this twice on these grounds. That God would use this conference as a spring, as we watch these things in the Colorado Rockies, as a spring. It's small, but it gains momentum. And by the time it reaches the ocean, it's a wide, rushing, mighty river, sweeping everything in its way. And that God would use this conference right here, that young men and young women would be used of God to make an impact all over the world. And I'll tell you where it starts. It starts here this morning in your own heart. A commitment. Okay, Lord, here am I. I am totally available. Do with me what you want to fulfill the great commission of Jesus Christ. Work in my heart so that I have a real heart for people. Lord, help me see this thing so I become addicted to this thing. And then, Lord, work it out so that I can be involved this summer in a training program that will meet my needs, that will lay a foundation in my heart, that will set me up and get me on the right track for the rest of my life. You've got a summer before you, haven't you? Well, we've been working, Warren and I and some others have been working for a long time to develop a competent staff to be ready for you. And there are lots of things you can do this summer. But you must make every decision in the light of eternity, as Warren has already told us. It's up to you. God help you to make the right decision as to what you do with these next 3 months or four. Because it could affect the course of your entire life. Let's have a word of prayer. I'd like to ask Chuck Hunt to come up and close in prayer for us, if you will, please.
Let's bow. Our Father, we thank you this morning that inside of our hearts, you see us for what we really are. And Lord, I know what's in my heart. I can fool a lot of people, Father, but I can't fool you. I can even fool myself. And so I'm thankful, Lord God, that you know what's in my heart this morning. And that you love me. And that you want to take my heart, cleanse it, use it, put your love in it. Lord God, how I praise you for that this morning. And we come to you this morning, Father, with hearts with all kinds of things in them. And you've given us a verse in your word, Father, that says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Lord, there's things in our hearts we need to settle, perhaps at this moment, perhaps in regard to whether or not we are addicted, or Father, whether or not we really do care for another person, or perhaps whether or not we really care to be trained and have someone else train us and help us and teach us. So, Father, we'll take a few moments right now in silence to just pray some of these things to you. Lord God, we would like to be the men and women that you use, the kind of man that God can use. And so our commitment is that this morning. And so, Father, just as we think of going home, we pray that we would drive stakes. And we ask you, Father, that the things that we've committed to you at this conference, this weekend, would not be forgotten by us, that your Holy Spirit would remind us and embed them upon our heart, and your words that we've heard this weekend, and that we, in fact, would take action. Lord God, cause us to be doers of the word and not hearers only, lest we become self-deceived people. In Jesus' name, amen.